This is George Corliss from your Strong Tower Radio family. Today we have a very special treat for you. We're working on a number of new programs here at our studios on Tracy Lane in Cadillac, and one such program is called Making It Real and Practical with the Milligans. Although we are not quite ready to begin airing this program, the Milligans just completed an interview about homosexuality that was so powerful and relevant for today's society that we felt we had to air it immediately. Jelaine and I wish you a special blessing as you listen to Making It Real and Practical with the Milligans.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Making It Real and Practical with the Milligans. We are so glad you joined us today. My husband, Pastor Pat, is unavailable today. However, we have a very special guest that I know will be a great blessing to you, as he has been to me. Today on Making It Real and Practical is Wayne Blakely. Wayne grew up in an age of Christianity when there were no open discussions about homosexuality. In this silence, as well as many other silences about temptation, Wayne was conflicted with his feelings of same-sex attraction. With no help about what to do with these feelings that are in contrast to God's holy word, Wayne left his faith at the age of 18. This happened to many youth inside of multiple denominations worldwide during that time. The gay culture was rapidly developing, and it wasn't long before many who were once in the wholesome Christian environment were soon exchanging it for acceptance in the gay community. There is power and strength in like-minded individuals, and Wayne shared with me that they collected themselves around each other and soothed each other's wounds. The gay community developed surrounding a same-sex attraction, which was being advanced in gay nightclubs and sex clubs. But you know, the prayers of God's faithful are heard. God stores those requests, and when that soul being prayed for is receptive to the Holy Spirit's promptings, God will send the hosts of heaven to reach them. After nearly 40 years immersed in the gay culture, Wayne finally responded to such a prompting. Wayne shared that sitting alone in his bedroom one day, he began to contemplate his destiny. God convicted his heart that he had been living for self rather than for Jesus Christ. Welcome to the program, Wayne. We're so glad you're here today. And I was wondering, Wayne, if you could open with a word of prayer for us.
Sure. Thank you very much for inviting me. And I would just like to invite the presence of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to share what you have done in my life and what you're willing to do in anyone's life, Lord. I know this is something that is delicate. It is something that we haven't talked about for a long time. And now the world is about fully accepting gay practices and without going back to the Word of God and seeing what the Word advises us. Lord, we have lived a long time in silence in church environments on this topic, and what's most important is that we seek your will through all of our decisions and through our discussions, and that in through that discussion that we maintain great love and compassion and tenderness for each other, just like you have for us. Mm-hmm. So, Lord, I do invite the Holy Spirit to be with us during this time together. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So, Wayne, I understand you were raised believing in Jesus Christ. Is that correct?
Yes, I was. I was raised in a strong, faithful Christian family where God was the center of our home. We went to church every week. We had worship in the morning and evening and prepared for the study each week at church and by studying God's Word. But one thing that we didn't talk a whole lot about, not just about with regards to the issue of same-sex attraction, but in the church environments, many places we're not having any discussions about anyone's feeling during that time.
Mm-hmm. So were you aware of what God's Word said about homosexuality?
Yes. By the time I was about 13 years old, I began to see some references in God's Word of describing homosexuality, and I thought, you know, I think that actually might be describing me, and I didn't ask to be this way. How can this possibly be that that I didn't ask for this, and yet I have these same-sex attractive feelings, and yet I didn't have any explanation for it, and so I didn't discuss it with my parents or with anyone else, but it just seemed like everywhere I went, people recognized that there was something odd about me, something different about me. And so as I began to read more and more in God's Word, I just saw that somehow it wasn't providing me the information I needed to deal with this problem.
I see. And about what age did you recognize or realize that you had same-sex attraction?
I don't know a day that I didn't have it.
Okay.
I was in a environment where my birth mother, and everybody has a story, so this is just mine. And honestly, I don't think that the enemy cares about what the cause is. As long as he can keep our focus on the cause of homosexuality, then he keeps our focus away from the solution. But what happened to me was that I was carried through my mother's pregnancy to full term, and the whole time people would ask her, oh, will you have a boy or a girl? And she said, oh, I'm having a girl. There's no other way it's going to happen. I don't want a boy. And so when I was born, there was no bonding. She didn't want to hold me, didn't want to touch me. But before I was 2 years old, she had already broken my arm in two different places on two different occasions.
Oh, my. So, Wayne, I want to get back to your story, your personal story, but I'd like to ask you, what was it that made you decide to openly act on your same-sex attraction at 18?
You know, I was working for a big medical university, Loma Linda University. I was a unit secretary there. I was fully aware by this time that there were other people that must be somewhat like myself that was starting to evolve. And an orderly said to me one night, oh, you should call my roommate. And so I called his roommate, and we were on the phone for probably less than 2 minutes before he says, oh, you're gay. And I said, I'm what? I didn't even know what that was. And honestly, it was when the term gay was being developed. And he said, you like guys, don't you? And I said, yeah, it's starting to look that way. And I didn't know what to do. This was the first person that was really having a conversation with me. And so I ended up meeting him. And he said, well, you know, I think that the church breeds homosexuality. And I said, what did you say? Where do you get that? And he said, well, you're gay. I'm gay. I go to school with guys that are gay. He said, the church is very good at telling us that homosexual behavior is sin. And then it goes silent, and you hear nothing else about it. And so what happens when you leave something in the dark? What happens when you put bacteria in the dark? It grows and grows and grows. So it's not just this way about homosexuality, but it's this way about many things, including other sexual sins.
Okay. Now, in your opinion, then, what is the cause of homosexuality? Are people born gay? That is a very, very prominent question that people have.
Yes, it is. But I laugh when I get that question today, because what difference does it make how we're born? Because every single one of us were born with the taint of sin on us. We are born, we have a sinful nature. What's natural to us in this life is sin. So whether I'm born with an anger issue or with a natural bend towards wanting to have multiple women in my life instead of just one, or if I'm born with an alcoholic predisposition or any other kind of disposition, God is asking us to be born again, and he says it doesn't matter how low you go, I can reach you. But are you listening to me, and are you willing to make a decision outside of what your feelings are telling you?
I see. All right. Well, you know, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Making It Real and Practical with the Milligans. I'm Tammy Milligan, and our guest today is Wayne Blakely, and our topic today is homosexuality. Another question, Wayne, that I had for you is, did you at this point, at 18, when you came out, did you stop believing in God?
I think I knew in my heart that God had a presence in my life. God had already taken me from where I was born into, my birth mother, and had put me in the home of a very strong Christian parents that adopted me. I went to Christian schools, and I worked in Christian environments. And I had a sense, you know, in church that, you know, God was certainly present there, and he was among his people who chose him. But I couldn't see that God, I was angry with God for not answering this question that I had, and no one seemed to have the answers that I was looking for. And so I walked away. You know, I got angry, and I said, that's it. I'm done. I'm done with God. I'm done with the church, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to live according to exactly how I feel. And I really basically divorced myself from any kind of moral compass. And as I walked into the gay community, they had the loving, open arms, and they were ready to receive me. They wanted to get to know me. They took a personal interest in me. And that's something that wasn't happening in the church. So, of course, I'm going to respond to that. Every once in a while, God would keep some kind of glimmer of his love and of his sustaining in my life, because I lived in many situations that were near-death situations by living in a life that had no moral weight, no moral basis, and God kept his hand over me.
Now, that's interesting, Wayne. Now, just to back up and recap just a little bit, so was it about 2 years old that you were taken from your birth mother then?
That's correct.
Okay, and then you were placed with in a very loving Christian home?
Correct.
Uh-huh. Okay, all right.
It was a miracle in itself.
All right. And did you have siblings?
Yes. Actually, an aunt and uncle adopted me. And so when they adopted me, I had two cousins that then became my brother and my sister. But also by my birth mother, I had a brother and a sister there as well that I didn't meet until I was the age of 27. And at 27, I met my natural grandparents, my natural brother, and my natural sister.
I see.
And my mother.
Oh, and your mother. Wow.
Yeah.
Now, when at 18 you decided to step out and just be open with your same-sex attraction, it sounds like to me that in one way it was a very painful time in your life, but in another way you felt like in a way you had gone home, meaning that you felt supported.
Yes, I think that when you take in any predicament in society where you have people who feel oppressed or suffering or alienated, and you begin to put them with like-minded people, there becomes a nucleus of power as you gather together. And so this was at the early beginnings of the development of the gay community, and you can see from what was beginning to happen in the mid-1970s. To where we have come today, it's an incredible power that has now begun to maneuver laws and change people's perspectives on same-sex relationships, but not based on the Word of God. It's just on the rule and on the political basis of the country today.
Yes. Now, how did your family relate to you? How did they react? How did you have the conversation? What did that look like?
I had an experience that even inside of the gay community, I was not finding exactly what I had hoped. In fact, my first love, who I thought totally loved and cared about me and had accepted me for who I was, ended up saying that he wasn't in love anymore. I was basically a sexual conquest to him, and it took me nearly 2 years to get over that hurt and that pain that came as being rejected again. In the process, I was very down on myself and hurt by the fact that I couldn't establish a monogamous same-sex relationship based on love, nor was I able to establish a relationship with a woman. And so I felt that I was a total failure. And as a result of that, I made an attempt of suicide on my life. That at that time, my parents came to the hospital where I was, and I told them that I was gay. I think they clearly knew this already. But one thing that they did, which I find so important today, is that they never they never compromised the truth of their belief in Jesus Christ, and they kept loving me and praying for me, and they said, you know, we love you, and we know that God loves you, and we don't have all the answers for this, but we know that he's not going to let go of you, and, you know, I wasn't rejected. I was told to always come home and to bring my friends with me, and I brought many friends to meet my parents. We never disrespected them by fornicating under the roof of their home. We totally respected their views and their beliefs in God, and they demonstrated their love to me and to my friends, and my friends always said that they perceived my parents to be such wonderful, loving people, and they always felt comfortable in their home.
Oh, that's beautiful, Wayne. You know, there's something that you said that I think is so incredibly important for parents today. I had a sister who experienced sexual abuse when she was a teenager. And around 2021, this began to just weigh really heavily upon her. She struggled with a lot of depression. There were times she would call my mother and she would be drunk and she'd cry and cry. And she said to me the other day, she said, Tammy, you know, she is now married, has three children that are active in ministry. Her husband is an elder in their church, and she is a woman of faith. And she said, wow. Tammy, do you know why I'm okay today? She said, I'm okay today because when I had no hope, mother had hope for me. My mother would always say, Sissy, you're going to be okay. You're going to be just fine. God is going to heal your heart. And she said, when I couldn't believe for myself, mother believed for me. So I think this is a beautiful story because it shows the power of a believing parent standing in the gap for a child who isn't at that place.
That's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Praise God.
You know, I see it this way today. Is that the one of the things that's put out there for parents today when a child identifies as gay or as same-sex attracted, it's usually a very traumatic time in the parent's life. They want to see what caused it. They feel that maybe they're the cause of it, and yet they love their child. And so the threat that's put out there from the enemy is that I'm already a no-brainer for him. I have the attraction. He doesn't have to do much to try to tip me over if my faith and my trust isn't in Jesus Christ. But what he goes for next is he reaches right past me and grabs my parents and says, unless you approve of your son or your daughter's behavior, you don't really love them. And so if he can convict the parents of this idea,
yes,
then he gets a two-for-one special.
Amen. That is so true. Well, listen, it's time for us to take our first break. But don't go away, audience, because we're going to continue our conversation with our special guest, Wayne Blakely, as well as provide some resources right after this. Welcome back to Making It Real and Practical with the Milligans. My name is Tammy Milligan, and my husband Pat couldn't join us today. However, we've been visiting with our very special guest, Wayne Blakely, about his journey coming out of the homosexual lifestyle. And I just want to take this opportunity to offer you a free resource today. You can call a toll-free number, 877-278-5512, to receive a free resource called The Passion of Love, He Did It For You, a beautiful book about God's incredible love for each one of us and His power to set us free from any addiction. So that is The Passion of Love, He Did It For You, and you can call and request that free resource at 877-278-5512. Our special guest today, Wayne, grew up in an age of Christianity when there was no open discussions about homosexuality. And in this silence, as well as in many other silences about other temptations, Wayne was conflicted with his feelings of same-sex attraction. With no help about what to do with these feelings that are in contradiction to God's holy word, Wayne left his faith at age 18. This happened to many youth inside of multiple denominations worldwide. So, Wayne, welcome back. I just really appreciate our time together. And I was wondering, what was your life like in the gay community? Did you feel accepted? And you touched on this. But other than you mentioned earlier that you had a relationship with a same-sex partner that it sounded like you wanted to have a monogamous relationship with. In other words, you wanted to be in a relationship with him for life. But he ended up making it very clear that he was only there to have a sexual encounter with you, and encounters, and he was not interested in that kind of commitment.
Mm-hmm. First, I would like to say I loved the offer that you made just after the break about this passion of love, because I want to tell you that it is not a checklist that would draw me back to serving my Savior and my Heavenly Father today if it were not for the pure love of Jesus Christ. It is only the love of Jesus, and that love being demonstrated through someone, that can lay the groundwork for the Holy Spirit to bring conviction on somebody's heart. Mm-hmm. This is what I was searching for. When I left the church and I walked into the gay community and I said, okay, these are people just like me. But I'd like to remind listeners today that the beginnings of the gay movement, the activism for gay movement, was at a bar in New York. That's where the Stonewall riots took place. That people were coming together not because of their focus on Jesus and the role model that he set for us, but that their desires, their sensual desires, and even their desires to be loved by someone, came about in a way that isn't set up by a moral compass. It wasn't set up this way by God. It wasn't God's perfect plan. And so we have to remember that Satan is far smarter than we are. He knows the Word of God better than we know. He knows the plan of salvation better than we know. And so remember that we have a great controversy at hand, and God is asking us to either seek his ways and his perfect plan, or we can respond to the appeal that's made by the enemy. It's the same appeal that was made in the Garden of Eden, because Eve knew exactly what was truth. She had that from the very first day that she had breath.
Right.
But what she did was she was in the presence of the tree of which she was forbidden to go near. When we put ourselves in the face of temptation, we're already halfway to the success that Satan wants mm-hmm. in presenting a counterfeit plan to us. And so for her, it was she was tantalized by her senses, but this was conveyed through her feelings.
Yes.
And so finally, he talks her into partaking of the fruit and doing what he's asking, and it is conveyed through her feelings, much the same as it was having the effect on me. I believe that the enemy goes after a child early in life to try to prevent them from having an intimate connection with Jesus Christ, so that they can decipher when feelings come along that are not in agreement with God's word. They don't know what to do unless you have this grounding or this intimacy with Jesus that is based upon his word, upon the truth that he gives us, his love letter to us. And so I went throughout the gay community. I kept searching. I went into nightclubs. I went into sex clubs. I went into everywhere I could go to try to encounter another man that would love me and accept me just for who I was. And mm-hmm. This is the word that's being put out there today. There are ministries out there today that just say, just be who you are. But what God is asking of me is to be who I am in Jesus Christ, and not who I am just as someone with a carnal nature today, to have purpose in living for him instead of living for what my feelings are trying to tell me. And boy, I'm telling you, I followed my feelings to the nth degree. I tried drugs, I tried alcohol, I tried sex, I tried everything. And you know, God let me go down every single road that I wanted to go down. And they had many consequences along the way, but he still kept me alive. I grew up in an age of promiscuity. Along came the AIDS epidemic, and I would have been well suited to be HIV positive.
Right.
But when that came about, I began to pray and develop an ironic relationship with God that said, if you'll just keep me HIV negative, I promise I'll do something for you. Uh-huh. And really, what could I do? Because I was so blinded by
right.
what was going on. But nonetheless, God preserved me, And I believe that he preserved me for such a time as this because he knew that one day my heart would respond to him.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I have to tell you, Wayne, my greatest enemy I have found is not the devil, but it's me. It's myself.
Yeah.
And the greatest catalyst of that are my feelings. Now, I used to resent it as a young girl growing up in a Christian home that we were always warned against going by our feelings. And I thought, you know, God gave us feelings. We should appreciate and enjoy our feelings. However, Wayne, you're absolutely true. If we go by our feelings, we wouldn't necessarily get up and go to work on time in the morning. We wouldn't necessarily eat healthy food. Maybe we wouldn't take time even to do life sustaining activities. But the point is, a lot of our life is made up of making right choices. Otherwise, we wouldn't even survive in this world financially and otherwise. And it's interesting, yeah, though, that when it comes to sexuality, we often suddenly stop and say, well, when it comes to that, we get to go by our feelings and only our feelings. So I find that society is very inconsistent. And if we think back 20 years ago, it wasn't okay to go by those feelings that you're describing, right, but it suddenly is today. And so I wonder, and I'm curious about what's next, you know.
You know, there's a huge focus today, both in the secular society and also in Christianity, about our sexual orientation. And so this has posed quite a challenge to me. So I went back to God's word to see, all right, where is it that we developed or we were pointed to sexual orientation in God's word? The only thing that I can find is that it says that he made them male and female. And that is not orientation as much as it is gender.
Yes.
And I was never supposed to be oriented to sex. I was supposed to be keeping my focus on Jesus, and then by living according to his statutes, let him lead me along his ways, not my ways. There's no promise in God's word that any of us can have sex except for through the precepts of God's original plan. I was just listening this morning, even in Ephesians, to people who are New Testament Christians. Again, in Ephesians 4, I believe it was talking about, again, the relationship between a man and a woman. Never in God's word do we find him using a relationship of two same-gendered individuals in intimacy and, in particular, marriage. Would that not be a hateful or tricky God if it was allowable to God or if it was ordained by God to have these kinds of unions, but to never tell us about them? And so I couldn't serve a tricky or hateful God like that, that is only going to give information to what his plan was for a heterosexual couple. Now, we see today that we seem to think that we have a rite of passage to sex.
Yes.
But we don't have this rite of passage. God is asking us to live according to his ways instead of our own ways. And so I take issue with sexual orientation today because in the Word, after I've studied it, I found that God gives us two orientations. And that is either we can be oriented to him or we can be oriented to the world.
Right.
Today, it's hard to have this message come out. I know that it's a peculiar message or it isn't a common message, but God has asked us to come apart from the world instead of being a part of the world.
Amen. That's so true. The other thing I'm realizing more than anything is, do I have a responsibility to my Creator to glorify him, regardless of my feelings? And if that is the case, then it's very important that I study to know what that looks like. God, why did you create me, number one? And then how am I to live my life in a way to glorify you and give you back the credit and the honor due your name because of my creation? It's a totally selfless and different way of thinking that I believe takes Holy Spirit power. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Making It Real and Practical with the Milligans. I'm Tammy, and our special guest today is Wayne Blakely, and our topic today is homosexuality, a very hot topic right now. And Wayne, I have to ask you, there are those in the gay community today who want to distance themselves from that label, gay lifestyle. Can you unwrap that for us?
Yes, there are people today who have relationships with same-gendered individuals that are in the gay community. Often, and we have even been guilty of this in our ministry, of using the term that everyone is so familiar with, which is gay lifestyle. As the gay lifestyle evolved, many have associated it with sex and drugs and, partying. And those were certainly all things that were predominant when I was living in that culture. And that's the term I'd actually like to introduce, is that we are, we need to be able to refer, just as you would refer to heterosexuality, you would be able to refer to homosexuality as a culture that has evolved. So not everyone participates in those things that bring somewhat of a shame and darkness over homosexuality. But what we need to then still look at and evaluate is this something that, if you're going to have a God association with homosexuality or with the gay culture, can we go and can we find that grounded in God's word so that it can give stability, it can give support for having something in place like this that is going to be blessed by God.
Right.
And so when we go to the Word of God and we go throughout His Word, we find that nowhere in His Word does He give such permissions. In fact, everywhere where homosexuality is mentioned, it's mentioned in a negative connotation, which is a clue to me about how I would come to God, humble myself before Him, and ask Him, then, what do you want from me?
Mm-hmm. And is it fair to say, God, who am I? What am I? And how am I to glorify you?
Yes. Yeah, that's very fair. Because when I came back to my Savior after living almost 40 years in the gay culture, I was really hit with what I thought to me was a lightning bolt experience. Mm-hmm. He said, Wayne, you don't have the right to be angry with me because, Wayne, you really haven't invested yourself in studying my word and seeing what my love letter has to say to you. How could you make these claims that I made you gay? How could you say that I caused you all this pain when you don't even know me? And to be honest, Wayne, you're blaming the wrong person, because it's actually Satan who brought this pain and this suffering and this shame on you as a result of sin. What I'm telling you is that I can and will redeem you. All I ask is that you would surrender, that you would come before me humbly. You may not know the path. You may not know. You may not feel secure. You might be scared. You might experience ridicule. You may stand out once again as you did when you were a child, but this time you're standing out for me, and I will never leave you or forsake you. I will never leave you unsupported. If you have faith and trust in me, I will always be there.
Beautiful. And what I love about that, Wayne, is that God's love letter not only informs us about who He is, but it transforms us. To use a very familiar term, it is magical. It is supernatural. I don't understand it, but the more I read His word, the more I start to see change in myself. And I can't originate what I did to change, but I can originate what God has done through spending time with Him. So in a way, God was saying, look, this isn't like a tornado that people call an act of God. This is actually caused by the evil one. Yes. And so this isn't an act of God. This is me calling you home from someone who is trying to trash your life.
That's right.
All right. Well, listen, in many denominations, there are those who describe themselves as gay Christians. What does that mean to you, and would you consider yourself a gay Christian?
For when I came back to God and decided that I would pay attention to what He was saying instead of what my flesh was crying out for, I was rebaptized, and I began to walk with God. And as I did, God had convicted my heart about sharing with others what He had shown me, because the church at large had still been silent on this topic, and I found that God still wanted to educate His people and remove the ignorance that had been there for so long. And so it was important for me to figure out who am I now, And some people say, oh, well, you're still gay. And I'm going, no, because that's exactly what God has redeemed me from. Why would I identify as being gay? So what, for instance, I give it an analogy like this. Paul was on his way to Damascus, and God intervened in his life and said, Paul, you've been in the business of supporting the killing of Christians. I actually want you to become a Christian. And so Paul agreed and said, yes, all right, Lord, I will do as you say. And he had this encounter and was convicted in his heart as he walked forward. Did he then identify as a Christian killing Christian?
Right.
Well, no, that wouldn't make any sense.
No.
What about someone who used to adulterize, you know, on his wife, and he comes back before his wife and asks forgiveness, and he asks God's forgiveness and his church's forgiveness for this behavior? Does he walk forward from that point and identify as an adulterating Christian?
Right.
No, of course not.
No.
And so it doesn't make sense for me to identify by my temptations. There may be those listening going, oh, great for him. Wonderful. He's changed. But what is this change?
Right.
The change wasn't about focusing on making someone, taking them from gay and making them straight. There have been some accusations of the ministry that I'm involved in. About being participating or supporting in conversion or reparative therapy. That's where you take somebody who is straight and say, or somebody who's gay and we can make you straight.
Right.
And that's not what this ministry does at all. What Jesus wants is your heart. And so when I put Jesus first, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I'm not a type of Christian. I'm not identified by my temptations, and I'm not defined by my past. Because he's told me that in 2 Corinthians 5, 17, or 16, 17, that if I would surrender to him, if I give my life totally and completely to me, that he wipes my past clean, he doesn't remember my past, and today I'm a new creature in Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
I like something I read a few years ago that says that God will not share his throne with anyone or anything. And so when I put my feelings first or my self-identity before I say Christian, that's putting the focus on me rather than on Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. Thank you. That was very well said. Well, it's time now for our last break, but don't go away. We're going to be right back with more conversation with our special guest, Wayne Blakely. Welcome back to Making It Real and Practical with the Milligans. I want to take this opportunity to offer you our free book of the day. It is called The Passion of Love. He Did It For You. And you can obtain that free offering by calling 877-278-5512. Again, The Passion of Love. He Did It For You. A free book offer at 877-278-5512. Well, listen, radio audience, I am so excited to have our special guest with us, Wayne Blakely. Wayne grew up in the age of Christianity when there were no open discussions about homosexuality. And there were also a lot of silence around other temptations. And Wayne was conflicted with his feelings, and those feelings were of a same-sex attraction. After nearly 40 years immersed in the gay culture, Wayne finally responded to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Wayne shared that sitting alone in his bedroom, he began to contemplate his destiny. God convicted his heart that he had been living for self rather than for Jesus Christ. And Wayne, I've just really enjoyed our conversation thus far, and I want to ask you a couple questions. What is your advice to those of us who have gay friends or relatives, and we would like to invite them to church, or we would like to have a spiritual conversation with them, but we are sensitive and we're afraid to turn them off. We don't really know where to start. What would you say to us?
Well, I have to say, first of all, that there's a lot of people that have relatives and friends that they desperately want them. Often they want to, we have this concept that we want to switch them from gay to straight, and remember that that's not what God is trying to do. God
right.
is trying to win the soul, the heart, that we're not redeemed by the type of sex that we're having, but that in the relationship that we have with God, it is possible today that, I mean, God is in the business of miracles. I'm not actively seeking a wife or a girlfriend, but it is not impossible for God to put in front of me the one woman that I might fall in love with. and that would be up to his desires, not mine. He didn't ask me to fall in love with the entire female population.
Right.
But if God is asking me to remain celibate, is that something that someone would consider? I mean, can we have single heterosexual people within the church? We need to reach out to people and make them part of God's family by loving them, by demonstrating God's pure love to them. I share in one of my presentations that is about reaching out to gays today the fact that we can't share what we don't have. If you're not plugged in to Jesus, if you're not experiencing Jesus in an intimate way each and every day yourself, it's not likely that you're going to have something to reach out with.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would ask that you don't play Holy Spirit Junior.
Yes.
Because this is what a lot of people have tried to do, and a lot of times just out of their own ignorance, and they haven't known what to do, so they're just trying to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Or they'll see a book that we have or a DVD that we have, and, oh, I know someone I need to give this to. First of all, we really need the education ourselves in Christianity. And then we need to pray for the person. The power of prayer is still the most important tool that we
Amen.
Have.
Yes.
Prayer and fasting even. And then watch for the doors that the Holy Spirit opens. Should you have a gay couple that live next door, invite them to dinner. Don't immediately think about what goes on behind their bedroom door. And
right.
don't put on the end of a well-set dinner table the Bible sitting on the corner.
Right.
As though you're going to hit them over the head with every verse there is in the Bible that has to do with homosexuality.
Or coming out ministries.
Jesus reaches people.
That's right.
So look at, ask them, what kind of work do you do? What kind of hobbies do you have?
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid. You're not going to catch it. You can go hiking, you can go golfing, swimming, and all these things. And pretty soon you might hear from one, if not both, of the same-sex couple saying, aren't you guys Christians? Because they've never seen God's love demonstrated through a Christian before in this
mm-hmm.
loving manner.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, it's only the love of Jesus Christ demonstrated that wins anybody to him. And then as you walk with them, don't forget to be praying for them after you've had these encounters. Don't forget to invite them back to dinner again.
Yes.
And begin to take personal interest. It's not your job to win the soul. I often get asked, how many souls have you won? I'm not in the business of saving souls.
No.
That's not my job.
No.
I'm in the business of planting seeds.
Mm-hmm.
And so I never am forceful. I may be very convicted about my position, but that should never be imposed on someone else. We have the right to choose individually what we believe and what we don't believe. But with the invitation of the Holy Spirit, there's greater power, and it's amazing how you can watch and see lives begin to change.
Hallelujah. You know, Wayne, being the mother of a wayward child, I was asked to share my testimony about my journey in not being the Holy Spirit Junior. And I have to tell you, it was quite a struggle during that time, because I just knew God needed my help. He wasn't acting as fast as he should, in my opinion. And I was sure that he wouldn't know quite how to do it as well as I did. It was only until I stepped out of that very sacred space that our daughter, I was asked to share this testimony, and I called her and I said, sweetheart, would you give mother permission to share our journey? And I shared with her parts of what I wanted to share. Before our conversation came to an end, I had two pages of notes that she wanted me to be sure and include. One of which was, mother, you set me free to find my own walk with the Lord, because we can never walk a walk with the Lord for someone else. And that was
right.
a very powerful thing. So the sooner we as parents get out of the way and pray, which is the most powerful thing we can do, God will then, as you said, work on the soul. Hallelujah.
Yes, amen.
So when you did begin attending church again, did you feel accepted, or were you kind of held at arm's length?
Well, let me tell you, the enemy goes to work whenever he thinks he's going to lose a soul. But let me just piggyback on what you just said. You don't know the influence of you on someone else. At the convention where I am now, we have someone who is just here as staff for security on the event at a building, who began to talk to someone that we had encountered in Germany who does not desire to have same-sex attraction and live in homosexuality anymore. And God has directed that person to come and chat with us. Because remember, the important thing is here about that person's desire to come out. If there's no desire to come out, don't be forceful. So I'm just blown away by what God does sometimes. It's just truly amazing. My walk back has been difficult. The church wasn't prepared. They don't provide courses in seminary for pastors. Remember, this is something that we dare not spoke of for nearly 150 years of this denomination that I'm in. And so it doesn't appear that, you know, there's this quick fix there. But that doesn't mean that God is impotent. It doesn't mean that it's not possible for the men of God who are pastors or for the congregation to be educated to dispel this darkness of ignorance that we've had for so many years. When I came back in, it was kind of on the hush-hush. People didn't want me to say too much, and I'm all, this is crazy. I said, I come back in. I find that the church still, after my nearly 40-year absence, the church still doesn't have any kind of outreach to gays today. And I believe that God had convicted me to begin a ministry. And there was not an excitement of the return of the prodigal son. There was this kind of wanting to keep me quiet and to keep me silent. And yet there were others that were saying, oh, well, if you want to start a ministry, I think we can designate a room for you to have these gays come and you can talk to them there. And I said, you don't get it. I said, you think that I would invite people to come through the doors of this church to experience what I have experienced in my walk back? I'm afraid of what somebody would say to a same-sex attracted person should they come through the doors of the church.
Right.
And so the ministry is not so much to the gay person at this moment as it is to the congregation and helping them understand what we have missed out on all these years by not talking about feelings, not helping people understand that everyone is level at the foot of the cross, that we don't have a hierarchy of sin, that we can't put the crown on homosexuality simply because the sin that you're most unfamiliar with is the one that's most disgusting,
yes.
And that's the one that does get the crown. It all sin needs to be thrown back into the same pool, and we need to see that we are all level at the foot of the cross, and that any sin is repulsive to God, and that James 5:16 tells us that if we would come together and share our faults with each other, that we would then know how to pray for each other and we could have the healing that is promised.
Oh, that is beautiful. And you know what? I struggled in my life with dishonesty at many levels. And I find that God's word says the most passionate language about that being an abomination, just right along with homosexuality. So you're right.
Yes.
We crown the one that is most different to our way of thinking, that which we don't understand. Well, listen,
exactly.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Making It Real and Practical with the Milligans. I'm Tammy, and our guest today is Wayne Blakely, and our topic today is homosexuality. And Wayne, I have to ask you, have you experienced a backlash from the gay community since coming out?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I would say that I have. That's probably the struggle today. Growing up in an environment where I was not seemingly welcomed, I was abused basically by the church and in the schools that I was in, by bullying comments and these kinds of things, and I felt like a sore thumb. Now today, I've come back into an environment where I thought that, well, they'll be happy today because finally I'm part of the family that I was supposed to be part of all along.
Right.
But what's happened is the pendulum has swung the other direction, and many churches have decided to go with a worldview. And the worldview is that of total acceptance and not even thinking about or analyzing the problem as it relates to God's word. today there are many people that are making observations about this ministry without ever listening to a word that I have to say, associating things such as conversion and reparative therapy to it, damaging types of things, and putting words in my mouth that are not there when it's
yes.
invitational, as Jesus is invitational, not forceful.
Right.
Often there are people in the gay community who, by all rights, feel that they have been ostracized,
yes.
alienated, and they're not trusting of the church environment or a pastor or a congregational member today. What should be listened to, my hope is this, is that the gay community would come and humble themselves before those who are based in a truth in love message. And I believe that many churches need to apologize to the gay community, saying, "We are so sorry that you never experienced the love of Jesus Christ through our members, that you felt pushed out."
Yes.
What we need to do is to help people with the sin problem. And you don't do that with a baseball bat or a sledgehammer.
Right.
It's invitational. Right. And so God is asking us to walk with people. In churches, usually we get this idea that people come in all cleaned up. And then, you know, they're baptized and there they sit as saints, you know, waiting for Jesus to come. But we have people suffering inside of our church families who don't sense that they can say anything to anybody about what they struggle with. Or we don't go to the Word of God to study it out to see what the solutions are. He's not left us. He has not abandoned us.
Mm-hmm.
He has not left us not knowing what to do. He's provided us with a truth and love message. The two have to go together. They don't stand apart from themselves.
Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I have a friend and we walk together and we pray for the young people in our lives and in our churches. And it was interesting. Yeah. Not too long ago, I said to her, "I think we're praying wrong." She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, we're praying about all their habits and addictions. I think our prayer needs to be, dear Jesus, help them to see the love in your face for them, and then
Amen.
May their hearts be melted by this love, and may they want to follow you." I said, because it's kind of like playing that game where you hit one thing to close it and the other thing pops up. It's exactly what you said. Sin is only the fruit of that separation from Jesus. Because
right.
the closer I come to him, the more I want to glorify and honor him. Hallelujah. Well, listen, Wayne, we are running out of time. I was wondering, is there any way that we could have a part two and come back and discuss? I'm really concerned about the church. I am the church, and I want to know how I can respond. I want to know how I can respond to the in-your-face gay agenda, and I want to know how I can respond in my church family, because oftentimes that which I... You know, to love the person who is living a lifestyle different than my own or different than that which is biblical, oftentimes we feel like in loving them, we are approving of their lifestyle or approving of their sin, whatever it may be, regardless. And I think that's a real struggle
right.
we have as Christians. And so I would love for us to come back together and discuss that. Would you be willing?
I would be happy to do this. You know, it's not our position as a church to either condemn or to condone, but we should be able to love someone without compromising the truth of Jesus Christ.
Okay. Well, listen, Wayne, in closing this session, and I'm so excited that we'll get back together again, in light of the recent Supreme Court ruling, speaking out in a world that's exchanging truth for lies must be really difficult. What are the challenges you face, and what is the source of your strength?
Yeah, no, I do believe that the Supreme Court ruling is something that gives us a landmark as to where we are in Earth's history,
Amen.
Where we've escalated man's laws above God's laws. I have to say that this will provide backing, legal grounding for many who want to push a gay or militant agenda of equal rights. And what will happen is that I think that we'll see an escalation of hate because many are going to start taking advantage of feeling that they have been oppressed and in church environments and in businesses and in schools, those who live openly gay and are gay and proud will look for opportunity to bring lawsuit against those who don't agree with them.
Yes.
And this is where it's important for us to remember, simply because we disagree doesn't mean that we don't love or shouldn't love one another and value each other and respect each other.
Yes.
It is a challenge, but I will say this, if we will go to God's Word and we'll put our faith and our trust in Him each and every day, He will not let us down. And so it's a time when people are being called to be a peculiar people, to show that the accusations of Satan are incorrect,
yes.
That this great controversy is one that God is fair, and the enemy is trying to say that God is unfair and unjust. But if we will choose Him, live by His precepts, and let Him have domain in our lives and control our lives and give Him our feelings that don't agree with Him, that He will be powerful in our lives. He gave us the right to victory and freedom. That's what He paid for. People tell me that they live under grace. Well, I have to ask, what kind of grace is it? Is it grace to keep on sinning, or is it when I have a fall, should I fall, the grace is there that God has provided, and He asks me to get back up and again to live according to His plan instead of my own.
Amen. This morning I read that Jesus Christ lived His life through the power of His Father, and we are invited each and every day to live our lives in and through the power of our Father. Wayne, thank you so much for taking this time to share your personal testimony. Your journey has been and is both real and practical. Your story provides tools to help us combat all the different kinds of sins in our lives. You know, radio audience, if you'd like to contact Wayne, you may email him at knowgreaterlove, that's KNOW, greaterlove@comcast.net, or he also has a ministry at www.comingoutministries.org, www.comingoutministries.org, and again, knowgreaterlove, KNOW, greaterlove@comcast.net. Thank you for joining us on Making It Real and Practical with the Milligans. Our book that we want to offer you today is The Passion of Love, He Did It for You. You may request your free book by calling 877-278-5512. That's 877-278-5512. And Wayne, we'll look forward to having you again another time on Making It Real and Practical. Shall we bow our heads for prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for being with us today. Thank you for your great love, your great patience, and for all the wonderful lessons you are teaching and have taught your son Wayne in his journey, and for his kindness to share his journey with us today. I just pray your Holy Spirit will work upon our hearts in the way we most need your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Goodbye, folks. We'll see you next time on Making It Real and Practical with the Milligans. Have a great day.